Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District. Today's Thursday, December 16th, a little after 10 in the morning. It looks like Joan Solu is not in attendance and Karen Biagini is not here. Looks like all the other members are present. So I'd like to call to order the meeting. And I'd like to open public comment. Is there anybody out there in the public that would like to speak? No? Okay, seeing there's no one out in public comment, I'll go ahead and close the public comment period. And does anybody along the board have any board announcements? No board announcements. Boy, we got a quiet day today. Oh, Craig's got something.
I'll take advantage of that opportunity. There's been talk with some of my directors, and we're looking at doing some roundtables with various business communities within the community, and one of them is the events community that we're looking to get together and do a roundtable. And I'd like to invite some members of the TBID and the Promotions Council and the city to attend that. With the events community, we're going to be discussing how we might leverage resources and how we might grow some events to be more of a weekend event, a holiday sort of concept to it, to bring more heads on beds and more retail tax. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. The date has not been set in January for that, but we'd love to have some of you attend.
Great. Thank you, Craig. Anybody else have anything else to announce? Okay. Moving forward, we're going to get done here quickly today. I would like us to go to approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look over the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Seeing no nays, we will approve the minutes of November 18th regular meeting. Okay, we're going to move along to monthly reports. We have the trade show subcommittee report, which is going to be myself. I sit on the trade show, Joan and I. We met and discussed a little bit about wanting to review the trade show, and that'll come up a little bit later in the budget. So I think I'll wait and let that be part of the budget subcommittee about we would like to have the trade show booth brought to the board to look at what we're currently doing, so we can maybe look at it and see if it needs a little bit of improving and revamping. I think we need to be redoing that. So I think when we met, that was really pretty much the only thing that we discussed was how we need to bring what's currently going to the trade show in front of all of you. So, and I understand there's a trade show in January. And
have there been discussions on who is going to man the booth at the January show?
We talked about it briefly, but we did not make any decisions.
Because it's January 15th and 16th, so we'll need to nail that down pretty quick.
I will make sure that Joan and I and yourself, who sit, all three of us sit on there, that we try to meet maybe next week or something.
Great. Thank you.
And talk about that. So. Okay. So moving along, I think that's all I have to report on trade show subcommittee. Next, we have the review of the transient occupancy report. I'll let Andrea take that.
Thank you and good morning. Board, our numbers continue, albeit very slowly, climb. We're up from NTOT last October to this October. I will make note that on your report for 2010, we do currently, at the time of printing, had one hotel and one trailer park that had not turned in receipts. So you will see those numbers even continue to climb. And you may very well see a slight change in your occupancy as well. So that's good information. As these are updated, we update the figures, and so your next report will reflect. Generally, we had a question at the Community Promotions Board that was interesting. That question was, the same motel each month that doesn't turn in receipts? And generally, it's not. Sometimes it's just a little bit of a lag time. So we're happy about that, and that's really all I have today.
Thank you, Andrea. Moving along, we'll go to TGA Advertising Agency Report. And before we do that, John has to leave at 11:30. I'd like to ask someone if we'd like to move new business item A up to his monthly report. If I could maybe have someone make a motion for that, I believe.
So move.
Any discussion?
all of the January show that Craig just mentioned. Here's a copy of the old card, too, just as a reference. So, again, not to talk too much about the RAC card, but it again emulates the brand, the look of the visitor's guide, so both those will complement each other. And so that's been approved and will be timely for the trade show. I'm going to call Rick up in a moment to talk about the website. Thank you for moving that one item. I could go ahead and cover that right now. There's been, as you're aware, Morro Bay was one of the first to support the county co-op program, which involves all the different BIDs in a collective effort to brand the county, but also bring traffic to our own individual websites. And I'm just going to go ahead real briefly and talk about the program again. It's pretty much the same as you originally saw it. One thing that has changed due to the county VCB's budget constraints, we eliminated their contribution of $10,000, and basically how we fulfilled that was shaving a little bit off of each of the areas of where we're going to advertise. Mental marketing and myself reduced our fee to a little bit. So basically what we're looking at is each partner contributing $28,000. I just a couple weeks ago went to the BID, San Luis Obispo's BID board, and they approved the plan. The only thing left now is for them to approve and take a look at the ad that we're going to be designing, as well as the landing page. So you have the plan coming around to you now. Again, really nothing has changed too much other than there's a little more detail on what San Luis Obispo, what we're going to do for the Los Angeles Times. And as you can see, we're going to have over 1.2 million impressions. The LA Times is actually giving us 300,000 impressions at no charge as part of a value added to do the program. And then, of course, there was a spread in SkyWest magazine. Online component in San Jose Mercury News, very similar to what you see for the LA Times. And then Sunset Magazine has greater detail now included in the plan, so you'll be able to see what we're going to get with Sunset. And both Sunset and the LA Times are going to do a contest that would be the ultimate Central Coast getaway to increase traffic. The one thing that I did want to bring to your attention is the U.S. Airways, and we elected all to participate in that. And I have a good example to show you what I think this can become. And this is Monterey. Monterey just did one, very similar to what we have proposed for our county effort and for the co-op effort. And it's over 30 pages. And basically, again, to reiterate, we commit to a spread, which is $22,000. And then the crew from U.S. Airways, their promotional group, comes in and they will work with the hotels, the restaurants, to enhance that section. And then they help us with the advertorial. So it's as you see, when you take a look at this, you'll see that Monterey really owns this particular magazine for that time. So what I was hoping to do is we have budgeted, and I'll pass the budget around. So currently we have $22,000 budgeted for a co-op effort with the county, and what we would be looking to do is add $28,000 $6,000 to come up with the $28,000 to accomplish that.
John, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Have we spent roughly $5,500 already?
No, actually, you know, that should have come out of contingency, because that's a miss. I apologize for that. So
right.
We preserve that $22,000.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. Which line item is that on here?
It's co-op with county/city, and there is actually $22,000 still in that fund. So I guess what I'd be looking for would be to contribute to add to the $22,600.
And where's that going to come from?
I would say that would probably come out of the contingency budget.
Okay.
And just so everyone's aware, this contingency does not reflect the added 1%. So that will be there, that will be growing as you begin to collect the funds for that as well. So the final step of this will be in the next meeting. I will come back with how the landing page is going to look, to where all of the campaign is going to be directed, and I'll come back with the ads as well.
What's the percentage increase from last year? Is there a percentage increase?
What for the online ads? The main call to action is going to be branding a Central Coast Getaway. And then when they click on that ad, they will go to a landing page that you will see that will have the county branding, but also have each of the co-op partners equally represented in that landing page with our website. And we still have one more approval process, and that is you guys approving that landing page and the creative. So, and that's true for everybody. So we still have one more pass at this, but if some reason you guys still don't feel like, hey, with this ad, you know, we don't feel like that we're well represented, we can certainly make changes then, or you can still opt out of the program.
One more thing. Is it going to be something off our morabay.org? When you say
they, what it'll be is when you the main call to action, the main website will be the county VCB site, but they won't go to the home page. What they'll do is if I clicked on that and say, okay, well, I want to find out more about the Central Coast Getaway, I click on that, then I go to the landing page that's housed with inside the VCB site. But on that landing page would be a montage of all the different locations along with each co-op partner equally represented with our morabay.org website.
So just for clarification, I just went back because I could have sworn we already approved a majority of this. And I just went back to our minutes from September, and we've already approved $27,500.
That's right, because the U.S. Airways at that point was an option.
Right.
Right.
So I think here what we're looking for is just an approval for that additional $500, basically. So somebody.
So move.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Any discussion? All
okay.
In favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, motion carries.
Great, thank you. So there will be one more opportunity for everyone to take a look, and the next phase is to come up with the creative, and we're working with the county VCB to emulate their brand into those ads, but also it's really twofold. One, it's going to be the branding effort for the county, countywide experience, but then also 50% of that is for each of the BID contributors to get their value out of that as well, to get graphic. One of the reasons why we thought the landing page, rather than trying to incorporate everybody's website into one ad, we could have a good tracking mechanism so we can see directly related to this co-op campaign how we did, and then also we'll be able to track it from our own individual traffic to our website after they go on that landing page.
That the San Luis Obispo County.com?
Right. So what it'll be, San Luis Obispo County.com/getaway. And so then when they go to that, they're going to go right to the landing page, and they'll be able to get all the information on each particular destination. So really the theme is come to San Luis Obispo County. There's all these great things to do. And when you come, here are some great destinations to consider.
Because that's one of our top sites already for referring sites. So not to jump on Rick's.
Right.
I have a question about referring sites. How much money do we spend with the LA Times?
Well, we not spend any money right now.
Oh.
But normally, we have budgeted about $18,000.
Okay. Because didn't you say it was one of a top referring site and it was free?
It's not free.
Oh, but it was top referring. Well, the reason I was asking is because on this one report, it shows that we've had nothing from them.
Well, we're not advertising right now. So when we advertise online, and I think you'll recall in the past when we did a campaign, they were our number one, just as the San Jose Mercury News. The good news is that when we do run those ads, we do see it. The bad news is, unlike print, it stops immediately, because once those ads are off the website, we don't get any more hits. But I can go back, and Jane, I can look, and we can do a tally of what we've gotten thus far.
No, I think you answered the question. We're not doing any ads there right now.
Right.
Is there any reason why?
Just budget. We just don't have enough to be on there every month. And when we do do it, we do it like in a campaign. So we're going to be doing one in, coming up in the spring.
So, but my question is, for example, this is a really slow time for every single hotel. Mm-hmm. To me, this is the time that we would put ads in the LA Times or in the Mercury. In the summer, we get booked, but right now it's slow. I think we need to really look at targeting our advertising for our slow times to help promote our events.
Well, we will. I assure you, we're not going to be running it in the summer, and it will be in the wintertime, too. Mm-hmm. It's just not this particular month.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be latter part. Actually, we're doing an email newsletter for the LA Times, and that will be coming out during the Christmas break. Budget for that, which is a good thing. We talked about a new trade show booth, as Michelle mentioned, so that would be something that we would look at, starting the design and take a look at the old one and see where we go with that. We have more outreach in the Northern California area, not necessarily with San Jose Mercury News per se, but more outreach into the Bay Area because we are seeing that as a great market for us. And then also the production, expending about $5,000 for a new video because the video we currently have on our website is pretty old. And what we would be utilizing the video for would be housing it on the website, but then also using it as a fulfillment tool for the trade shows. And one of the ideas was to put the video on a memory stick. So when we go to a trade show, there's all these different creative ways that you can do memory sticks. I just did one for a client. It looked like a wine bottle. And you take the top off, and that's what you plug into the computer. And that would accommodate the video. So when people come and you're at a trade show and say the person doesn't want the brochure, just wants to take something convenient, put it in their pocket, that would be another form of collateral for trade shows, and also could actually be for ad responses too and for press. And I attended the BID Alliance meeting. Do you want me to talk about that a little bit? Okay.
Please, because none of us went.
It was an interesting meeting because the Caltrans had decided on that day to close the freeway down to one lane. And for some reason, I felt compelled to leave early, so I actually made it on time, but there were several people who did not. San Luis was late. In fact, Susan Brazil said that's why they call him slow. And they didn't seem to laugh at that, though. I think they were a little perturbed being on the freeway. But anyway, there was, again, a general discussion as far as what's this group about. What is this group? Because it went from a strong emphasis by San Luis Obispo that it should just be hoteliers, and then it came back to where the marketing people would attend. And so I think there's still a little bit of a struggle on figuring out what this group is going to do. But out of that discussion came the fact, some givens, and one is that a BID alliance, a collective group of the cities together, could be a good lobbying force. So by chance, the Board of Supervisors, when the time comes up to fund the county VCB, that would be a very appropriate time for all the alliances to get together and talk about what they're going to do and go before the Board of Supervisors, stress the importance of tourism and TOT to the county. The other part of that is, and we had a big discussion as far as the county VCB and how the BID works with that. My point was that we're in the past meetings they've talked about how the VCB is going to help the BIDs. It may be in the short run, how's the BID Alliance going to help the VCB? And I think the co-op is a really good example of that. You know, the fund we have, the BIDs have some funds to do that. Maybe at this point in time, it's really the BID step up and help to do some marketing of the entire county experience, working with the VCB. So that came out of it. And then also there was some direction as far as what do the BIDs want from the VCB? I mean, what do they want them to work on? What are their goals? So it was pretty resounding that the number one request was that the county VCB do countywide branding and advertise and brand the county experience, because I think all the BIDs feel like that we have to sell that county experience, and then the BIDs can go off on their own and justify each destination to visit. And then the second one was public relations, for the county VCB to do PR, bring in travel writers, and work to have kind of a joint county effort for that, and then a big outreach in meetings and trade shows so that they would be going and presenting the county experience at those functions. So it was a productive meeting. I think that it's still kind of in its stages of trying to find itself, but I think everybody's encouraged, and I think that they all see the value of getting together periodically and going over these things. The I guess the next thing is I'm going to call Rick up, if that's okay, and Rick can give us a brief report on the website.
Sounds good.
Okay. Data is, you know, now we're getting rolling over October, November, where our first months will be, we're able to compare with 2009, and it looks like we're doing, November is running about 10% ahead in visit sessions. One of the things I'd like to point out on the, this is on this report here, if you printed it out, the page views by titles, your special page is, after the home page, is the number fifth most visited page, so that's 8,000 visitor sessions so far in the first 5 months of this fiscal year. So that's something there are attracting people there, and hopefully in the future we can evolve that page even more. That could be what, you know, Morro Bay to a bunch of new people, and you know that's why you want to keep going forward with that kind of a campaign. You're reaching out to their database or their people that visited like the Mercury News, and we're bringing some of those people over to Morro Bay, and hopefully they like what they see and they stick around and come for a visit.
If I could just make one comment, Nick, you recall that in our budget meeting we talked about the San Jose Mercury News and the reach. That's an example of, I mentioned that it's not just that paper, that they have these multiple little regional papers. So you can kind of see that the results come in from all those different regions.
So the Marin, is it the Marin Journal? It's, mm-hmm. it's Marin. And the Santa Cruz Sentinel, are those? Those are from the San Jose Mercury?
They're all owned by San Jose Mercury News. And when we buy it, we buy San Jose Mercury News, but then we buy all those little those other surrounding areas as well.
Excellent. It's a pretty good cumulative exposure, and I forgot to circle that Marin. I didn't know what Marin J was, the Marin Journal. So there's another one there, and that had 100% new visitors. So, I mean, that is such valuable stuff to attract those kinds of new visitors. Pretty much, the page, the lodging page with the click-throughs and everything, it's fairly predictable. It's obviously, you know, scaling down from our shoulder season to our low season, so there's no big surprises there. If anybody has any questions, just jump in. I'm still tracking the smartphone users, and the smartphone users, they're more and more every month coming onto the site, so that's kind of following that trend. We reached over 6% of all of our visitors came in via smartphone last month, so that'll keep growing, I'm sure. Let's see here, anything else? In the state detail page, you can see how the visitors from San Jose has now crept up into our top five or six people. One of the things, too, to point out, what happens a lot of times with destination websites this time of year is if you look at this one here, this is the dashboard, and you see this big peak, and then you see another little peak over here. If you look at what those dates are, this big one is the lighted boat parade, and this one is the visit of Lady Washington. So we spend a lot of our energy in the off season is telling people about the events. Hopefully, it's coinciding with a lodging stay, but that's one of the thing that you can see is very important. And then also on this dashboard page, if you look down here in content overview, you can see the typical home page, and then they're looking at our calendar. Then right underneath that is lodging. And then look down in fourth place is the lighted boat parade. So that's one of the things you've got to keep in mind, that people are coming to the site, as our good friend Ed Brown would say, an oracle of information. And that's what they're looking for. And so we've got to make sure that we're on top of that for at least our major events. So end of story.
I have a question, Rick, on the state detail. Yeah. It looks like San Francisco's crept above Bakersfield, which I think is interesting. But my question is, San Francisco, you know, San Francisco, the city of San Francisco is really a small area. What does that include? when it says San Francisco? I mean,
you would have to probably ask Google.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't know what the geographic thing is. Maybe if you were to click on the bullet on this map, but it's probably, you know, an accumulation of IP addresses that are in a geographic area, because that's how they're doing it. It's where the computer is located. So if you were to go on to morrobay.org right here from your IP address, which would be in Morro Bay, it would be logged as
that. And Nick, I would think that because of the efforts that we're making in San Jose, I think it would include that area too.
Yeah,
there's a separate San Jose area, but I think you're right. I mean, there's a lot of blending going on up in that area.
And then one thing about the events is that we do promote, you know, now that you have over 9,000 people on your e-newsletter, so we do send out an e-newsletter to promote the different events. So that's probably one reason why the Lighted Boat Parade's traffic.
Yeah, so we drive it. We send out, there's an applicable link to the Lighted Boat Parade on the newsletter that drives traffic back. That's only trackable via the newsletter sending out. So that's one of the things that we do. We can't track where that comes from, only through the newsletter outbound links, not from the inbound links. So, anything else?
Anybody have any other questions for Rick?
Good job.
Well, thanks. Good job for all of us here. And John's got some numbers that he showed me that is going to probably highlight that when it comes to his report.
Yeah, if I could, I just put this together last night. And, you know, I'm kind of with, I think Jane said it very early on, that translating the analytics and the statistics into actual room bookings and into revenues. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. So what I was doing was effect of the advertising, the promotion, the development and release of the website. JackRabbit, I presume, is in there. All of a sudden, it seems to have an effect. And in July, occupancy went from 68 to 72%. And three of the last 4 months, we've actually gone up in occupancy. And then where I come from, you know, is what's the value of that? 1% is worth about 400 rooms a month. So you can multiply 1% times whatever percent of growth it is times 400 rooms times the ADR for that particular time of year, and you can translate that into actual dollars and cents. And, of course, the next step is then to compare that growth in total revenue for the hotel motel business to how much we're actually spending to achieve that growth. And, you know, for right now, we're spending a lot more than we're getting back, but I think what we're seeing is the cumulative effect of what's been going on for the last 18 months is beginning to bear some fruit. Anyway, if the group wouldn't mind, maybe I would continue to do something like this on a quarterly basis to see what it's going to look like as we go forward. We're at a, you know, what did they see in the news this morning? It's a fragile situation in Afghanistan. We're at a fragile point right now. We need to make this thing keep moving forward. Thanks.
Thank you, John. That's really nice. I think it's nice. You know, one thing that's always hard with anything marketing-wise is it's hard to find that ROI, that return on investment. And I think this helps. Hopefully, like you said, the trend will keep increasing and showing that everything we're doing is bringing in more heads and beds, as we say in the hotel world. Thank you. I think this report's great. So love to see it in the future. Okay. John, you pretty much finished up then?
Mm-hmm.
You got anything else?
Yes, thank you.
So moving forward, we have the website subcommittee, which is Joan and I. We did not meet this last month, so there was no report on that. Hotel packaging subcommittee?
We did meet, although we met kind of late and over email. I think we've got some really good ideas, but we'd like to defer a report to next month because we would like to kind of bring these things to a little more fruition before we do.
That sounds good to me. The creative subcommittee, did anybody meet?
We did meet.
Okay.
And basically, that also encompassed a couple of members from the promotions committee, and we looked at the ads that I had brought that kind of emulated the visitor's guide, and there was a consensus that that was kind of the direction we want to take, so that when somebody sees a print ad, they get the fulfillment from the visitor's guide, as well as the rack card, and then also the video is going to have that same kind of theme. We just kind of cleaned it up a little bit. The first ad we looked at in detail was for the county visitor's guide, and that ad was there were some comments to put that together. We took the person that, if you recall, there was a person swimming in the water. Thought that was sort of a false promise, unless, you know, the person had to be 12 years old or 10, and they still go in the water. But it cleaned it up a little bit. But I'll bring that ad and then the new campaign with those changes at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Public Relations Subcommittee. I sit on that subcommittee, and John and Karen, who's not here, I met with Cheryl Cumming yesterday. She gave me the budget for the FAM trip that was back in October, and she would like us as a board to consider giving additional funds for that FAM trip because they went over budget. So I know it's not an agenda item. I don't know if we could put that on a future agenda item. We could discuss that further maybe next month. So I'd just like to request that on the agenda. And then I will send everybody out this, what they actually spent and what it is, so then that when we have discussion next month, you'll all be prepared.
Does she have to fill out one of those forms for additional funds?
No, because that's a county. This was something that we did as a board. It's not, yeah. The Tourism Business Improvement District Percentage Subcommittee, did you guys meet?
No, we did not.
Okay. The Visitors and Conference Bureau report, County BID. Okay, so that. So that would be myself. Visitors, I went to the VCB meeting yesterday. Andrea also attended. Not a whole lot going on, too much. We did vote to go move forward with SAVOR. So SAVOR will be moving forward. It is 99% sure it will be at the Santa Margarita Ranch. So they were supposed to sign the contract yesterday afternoon. So it was 99% sure going to be still at Santa Margarita. And they're looking at Chef Cora would be the celebrity chef. That, again, is not 100% secured, but getting close to being secured. So just a little bit of heads up on that. A couple important things. I'll make it quick. RevPAR statistics. Everybody is up. California, San Luis, Paso, Santa Barbara, Monterey, they're all up in pretty good numbers, 2 to 9%, according to the Smith Travel Research Report. And really, you know, our main topic was pretty much a few people that they're trying to get together to do a big tourism workshop. They want to get the city involved, all of the city council, the mayors, board of supervisors, but I think they're trying to work out the date because the date was really hard to try to get all of these important people there. So more to hear about that because they did mention that they wanted BIDs to be a member, to be a part of that roundtable discussion as well. So as I hear more, I'll try to make sure you guys are aware of that. And I did not attend the BID Alliance Award, and as John already kind of reported on that. So I think that is it for the report on the VCB and the BID Alliance.
Michelle, if I could just add, I think that that's a great suggestion to start thinking about, you know, where we go with the SAVOR, because even though our events weren't in the masses, there was a resounding critique of the events that we had, so the Oyster Tour, Battle of the Bay, that everybody loved those events. And not only the people attending, but I think Steve Burns, they were all pleased with how those events were carried out and then how they were promoted. So there could be a real opportunity for us to try to find something that would bring the people here. And I think that would help also in creating some overnight stays related to SAVOR as well. If we had a major event here that people felt like, hey, there's a need to stay in Morro Bay for that event.
Yeah, and another topic that was talked about, they're talking about doing a kayak tour also here in Morro Bay. Basically, this year they're doing it more of an adventure. They're getting rid of a lot of the winemaker dinners that were kind of not successful throughout the county because, you know, you drink and eat all day long. You don't necessarily want to go to another wine dinner that night.
Exactly.
So this year's theme is going to be a little bit more adventure await. So the oyster tour, they said, was phenomenal. Of course, the Abalone Farm. They also are thinking about maybe doing some kayak tours here. So there's going to be some real opportunities for Morro Bay in this next coming year, even more so, I think, than last year, and some new partnerships, because everything that we had done as a city, they were very, very pleased with, and they were very successful. Not all of the events were successful, so ours were. And so adventures is what they're looking for, which is why the Oyster Tour is a great thing. People want those unique experiences that we offer, and so I think it's a great opportunity for us to offer those and to be a part of it. And again, to span out, you know, this is a 4-day event, and we need to try to tail in on those ends to get more people here extended for a longer period and then, you know, come for 4 days and go to the Harbor Fest for some and do the Saver for others, and I think there's going to be a great opportunity for us in the next year.
The events last year were pretty much on Friday, right? And then Saturday, Sunday, you're supposed to be at Santa Margarita Ranch except for the fireworks or the dinner Saturday dinner. It seemed like it would be nice if there was more. You can't spend 2 days at Santa Margarita Ranch. I mean, we did that. That was an awful lot of time. I mean, it seems like if you kept those events going on over the weekend, and we ran an oyster tour twice on Friday, twice on Saturday, and twice on Sunday, you know, get more of that activity going on parallel to the Santa Margarita thing.
I think that's a great idea, John, and I think when we get into a little bit more with the Saver, I think that's something we should definitely talk with them. And I know Steve and Josh, I'm sure, will be coming to us real shortly, and I just want to kind of drop the seed to everybody now to kind of get thinking of those great ideas, because I think it's an opportunity for Morrowbay to get more exposure, and people are out here on the Oyster Tour, they're going to see the Harbor Fest, and I think it's maybe there could be a great partnership with Harbor Fest too, where people could come and go to Harbor Fest one day and go to Saver one day and get people to stay in Morrowbay. So I think that's really the goal. And again, hoteliers out there and all of us sitting on the board, really, really think we need to do more packaging with the Saver event as well and try to get people to stay overnight and get their tickets and do some packaging opportunities. And Steve and Josh said last year it was really hard to do a lot of those individuals because there were so many events and the website didn't allow you to pick this and this. This year they're working on the whole new website, and you're going to be able to pick and choose a little better so that people can do packages. So remember that, all of us hoteliers.
Yeah, I had one idea on that, and this could obviously come later as they get closer, but one of the things they might consider doing is offering the hoteliers a reduced rate to buy tickets, because it would benefit them rather than give away a free ticket. If they got $40 for a ticket and the hotels could pay $40 and package that into a room, so then when somebody stays here and they get the Saver package, and included in their hotel stay is two tickets for Saver.
May I make a suggestion? Can we just do a subcommittee, because this is such a big event and there's a lot of coordination that needs to go on with a lot of places, including the restaurateurs, if we want to develop a package. Either put it on a committee that's already present, or start a Save the Central Coast committee so that they can make recommendations, they can get it done, they can do the coordinating, and then that's that for us.
I think definitely once we get a little further along, that's a great suggestion. Currently, right now, it's been under the trade show subcommittee because it's been considered a trade show. So I think, though, once we maybe move forward and possibly commit, then we may want to address that a little bit different. Okay, anything else? Next month, the report is the Fulfillment Subcommittee.
Yes, we did meet a couple of times. The approach we took, and this is, mailing fulfillment through the Visitor Center. We priced this thing out in a lot of detail, and we come out with mailing this thing. The biggest cost is obviously the postage, which is 27.3 cents per item, and then with everything else on there, it comes out about 38 cents per item cost to mail these things. Last time we talked about the fact that this by itself is not machinable, so we put it in an envelope, and that's what everybody agreed to, and that's what the Visitor Center is doing now. I actually spent a little time with Craig at the Visitor Center because there were some issues that we needed to look at there, and I'm going to ask Craig to jump in a second. But I think the Visitor Center view is this is a great document, but there's probably some incompleteness to this thing. And one of the examples would be all the restaurants are listed, but addresses for the restaurants are not, phone numbers are. So the thought was people want to know where the restaurant is. We require that they call to get an address. The Visitor Center has a brochure that lists all the same restaurants with phone numbers and addresses. So they're taking, when they get a specific request from a call to ask about restaurants, they're adding their own brochure to this to make it complete, a complete package. Frequently, they're stuffing in three or four more pieces of paper, same size as this, with a different front on them, and it takes the weight of this package beyond the 3.3 ounces that we have to stay within for the bulk, to operate within the bulk mail permit. So one we were looking at the other day actually had to go out first class, and it was, I think, 92 cents to mail the item. I think probably the longer-term solution, that's not too long of a term solution because these things are going quick, is go through this thing and where we want to put addresses on or whatever we need to do, make the changes to this so we can eliminate adding on the Visitor Center brochures. In the meantime, our approach was to say we'll offer 38 cents to put these things in the mail. However, I think that's unfair to the visitor center if they're going to be adding those brochures. The other alternative, we could tell the visitor center, just say that, send this, don't add anything to it, this is fine, let the people call the restaurant and find out what the address is, and we could recommend that we go ahead at the 38 cents per item. I think we want to put that open for discussion. Now, let me let Craig make some comments because he's the guy running this thing.
Well, first I want to thank you for...
And I'm going to jump in. We do have an item on our agenda called discussion of fulfillment costs. So as long as we keep this item as a report, and then when we move into a further discussion, so we can certainly put points in, but just keep in mind we do have this as an agenda item.
Why don't we table my comments until we come to that point then? Thanks.
Okay. So thank you for the report then, and we will move that along when we get into new business. So moving along to unfinished business, we have item A, continued discussion of the Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District expectations of the County Visitor and Conference Bureau.
And just to refresh the board's memory, this was a situation where we looked at the top three. We were looking at the top three. The board was polled about the most important top three things that the VCB could do, and we were going to come back and reveal those top three choices. And Vice Chair Hawkes, do you have those? And if not, we can certainly continue it on.
I think it's going to be. I think this was something that was unfinished from last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I remember everybody going around and handing them over to me, and they're sitting right on my desk as I was walking out the door, and I forgot to grab them. The thing is the BID Alliance has already met, and that's what I needed it for. So, honestly, I mean, we can have this discussion, but we're a little late in the game now, to be honest with everybody. I did forward over to Cheryl, though, what preliminary stuff I had of just basics, but it wasn't – we never really had a full discussion as a board. So I think it's really up to the board whether this item even needs to be addressed. The BID Alliance is still moving forward. We've already gave them kind of your preliminary stuff. We just never discussed the item. So I don't even know if this even needs to still be discussed.
Well, I think how it was presented to the BID Alliance was the consensus kind of generally with amongst the people who were there was the countywide branding was the number one. Public relations was number two, and then number three was meetings and conferences and events, trying to get people to come to have a wedding, you know, reunions, those types of things, because that was one thing that a lot of the BIDs, cities don't have a meeting planner, you know, per se, so that's something that they thought that the county VCB could do. So those were kind of the three that the whole group thought were important.
The BID Alliance. I know from our board, the thing that's missing out of there, and again, I didn't go to the BID Alliance meeting this week, was grants. I know that this board had felt grants was a very important thing, and that's something that I can be sure the BID Alliance is aware of. I know that this board had a consensus of grants on there,
and,
too.
And that topic did come, and while that was one that the county CBID, Cheryl, because I think she's the one that really put it on everybody's radar, understood, and then John Connor, who represents San Luis Obispo, said, I think it's important too, but I just don't think we all knew what that was about till it's explained. So I think that certainly could be put in that top group too, because I think everybody felt the importance of like seeing Monterey get millions of dollars in grants to fund some of their tourism activities. It would certainly be valuable for the Central Coast to do that as well. So that was mentioned, and it was noted as being important.
Perhaps then at the next, if I may interject, perhaps at the next TBID meeting, we can take that additional push from this board, our interest in grants, and just make sure that's heard at the BID Alliance meeting.
Mm-hmm. So if everybody's okay with it, is it okay to go ahead and finish this up? I mean, does anybody want to have discussion about it, or do we feel comfortable with what we've just put forward? Okay, so we'll go ahead and move along. And
excuse me, Michelle. Yeah. Have we or have they established any criteria with regards to the grants? With a focus on shoulder seasons or midweek visits or any of that?
No, there's been no further discussion. Grants was not something that the BID Alliance had really had on their top three. That was something that this board had had on their top three.
Okay.
And so I'll make sure that the BID Alliance is aware that that's kind of one of our top items, mm-hmm. and I think they're probably with us the same.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Again, I think it was just they didn't really understand what that was. And I think, you know, the BID lines, just so everybody's aware, it's just all the BIDs coming together, and we all talk about these different topics that we all talk about and hope that we can try to move them forward along and be on the same page on a county level, on a collaborative level. So
I think a lot of it, Craig, was obviously for Morro Bay, you know, kind of marine-oriented, but also ag tourism. You know, there are some grants out there for people to, you know, in farming and agriculture, which is one of our unique selling points. So I think that's kind of, and basically the discussion is still really general, but it would be, do we want to take some dollars and go hire, you know, somebody that's really experienced in grant writing that has the contacts and pool our money to do that collectively and have the county VCB be a part of that and maybe learn from that person too, so where the county could eventually learn that technique and then be able to do it without having to go hire an expert.
I think that's a great strategy. We support that.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and finish up the unfinished business of that, so it looks like we're all on the same page there. Next item, item B, continued discussion of adding a report under the transient occupancy tax report using statistics from the Smith Travel Research.
I've got the same report we handed out 2 months ago. Does anybody want a copy of this now again? Or?
Is this one current, or this is the one?
No, this is still the using the August numbers. I haven't updated anything because didn't know if the board would accept it.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's all pretty straightforward. If there was any questions, otherwise, do we want to go ahead and you know, with discussion about do we want to look at this thing on a monthly basis.
To refresh the board a little bit, because I don't even know if Craig was here, we basically, John had made this great report which takes information off of the Smith Travel Research Report and our TOT reports and provides it into one report, which has on there average daily rates and RevPARs and compares it to the other communities that are right around us. So basically what we're just looking for is a motion to approve this report and add this report onto our monthly reports when we get TOT, because personally I think this is great information. So we're just basically looking for a motion to add this on.
So move.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you, John, for all of this. I know you'll be working every month on this great report. I think this is really wonderful. Okay. Moving forward, continued discussion of approval of the financial support guidelines to the Tourism Business Improvement District request for funding form.
It's kind of the same thing. We presented this report two meetings ago, and it's here to see if we want to go ahead and use it. It was designed when somebody requests funds for an event to give us some feel of if they ask for how much X amount of money, how many rooms do they have to sell at a particular time of year for us to recover the funding for that particular amount of money that we do grant. Does anybody want a copy? I've got extra copies. Here, have a bunch. Basically, it's presented in a couple of different ways. It's how many rooms do you need to sell at peak, off-peak, or just average ADR for the year to earn $1,000, or if you sell X number of rooms, how much is it worth to the BID at peak, off-peak, or average annual ADR. And it's just strictly a guideline form.
So, again, this was something we wanted to just add to our request for funding form. So when people ask for an application for request for funding, this would be part of that packet, which just gives them a little bit of, like, basically break-even numbers somewhat. So we just wanted to add this to the request of funding form.
Okay. This is great for us, but on a form for any of them, you know, like that little the gal that was here last time, Jenny, I think she's going to fill out a form. I don't know if she did, but she's not going to even, she can't, she won't understand this. I mean, I think it's, I don't think we need to put this on the form. I think this is something we need to discuss here when a form's presented.
Yeah, I think that was the intent, that she says she wants $500 or whatever. We can look at this thing and say, if she wants $500, can she sell 12 rooms? You know, kind
of. Fine. So for us, we don't have, so I'm a little confused. I think we're saying that this has to be part of the form, or we can just keep this for our notations.
I think the intent was for us to keep it as our, for our internal worksheet use.
So do we even need to do anything then with this?
You could, since it's on your agenda, you could just, the motion can be that you would be interested, you approved considering this information when you're reviewing the request for funding form, if we wanted to make a motion.
So I apologize. I thought it was to be added to the form, so that's why I thought. So I apologize.
I have a comment on, because being the, one of the people that originally was on the subcommittee that came up with the guidelines for requests for forms, do we expect people to, when an event is put on and they ask for money, should we as a board, I mean, should we expect them to, the event to pay for itself as far as rooms booked?
I don't think so, and I think that's a great thing for discussion. I mean, personally, for me, I mean, this is great information. It's nice to have, but great example with the 4th of July. You know, if we looked at them, you know, we gave them, you know, $10,000. That's, they would have had to sell more rooms than we even have in the city. So, I mean, I think this is just a little bit of more of an, you know, informational piece. In my mind, and this is just personally in my mind, I don't, you know, when we're giving out, requesting for funding, it's to support the health. And I mean, obviously we're wanting some return on our investment. We're wanting motel rooms to be sold, but for us to expect there to be some break-even point, I think that's a little unrealistic, personally.
I agree. And that's kind of, I think that was the, you know, the putting that request for funding together, I didn't think we would, I mean, this is good to kind of, you know, have an idea of what effect it might have, but I think it's, you know, we have to look at the big picture of a request.
Well, and this is just for the BID to recover its money. That's only 3% of the total revenue that's spent by that group. So, you know, if the room's $100, we're only taking $3 of that. So that really $100 came in off the room that went to the hotelier.
It would almost be nice, too, just to throw a wrench into it, to see the city side of it at the 10%. You know, so you could see, because I mean, obviously we're in our world of 3%, but what is it benefiting the city? Because it, you know, obviously everything we do here is to benefit the city, not just this board. So I think that would be neat to see on there what it's bringing into the city level. Just since you're such a great number, yeah, I know, and I know 10% is easy, but it. I mean, if we've got it and it's in our informational piece, anyways, it'd be nice to just throw that on there and have as our master copy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, so do we want to see a motion? No?
You can make a motion, but it sounds like there's just no action on this, which is fine as well.
Okay, perfect.
So we'll continue on.
Thank you again, John, for all these great number things. Us non-number people love it. Okay, so we're moving along to new business, and we've already done item A, so we are on discussion of fulfillment costs. So now we can now open it up to Craig to start on that discussion of fulfillment
Great,
costs.
Thank you. And just to add on John's comments, I want to thank John for coming down to the Visitor Center, because he saw the process of how we do fulfillment, how we track fulfillment, and some of the anomalies that come up that I don't think we took into consideration when we were trying to price out what's it cost for a fulfillment piece. Yes, this costs, what is it, 28 cents when we bulk mail? Just the postage. Okay, numbers guy, you're great. You gotta love it. Yeah, but we also send out a lot of pieces that aren't part of the bulk rate. We'd like to get this information in the hands of our guests as soon as they request it, because they're in a decision-making mode, and we want this to be as complete of information on everything that we have that we can. And that's why John mentioned when a person calls, we ask some quantifying questions about what their interests are, what time of year they're coming,
and such. So we might supplement it with a shopping guide or a dining guide that has more complete information than this one currently does. And we've talked with John about the upgrade. And eventually we can get away from supplementing with these because this will be an all-encompassing piece. But currently, we can add just with these four brochures to the cost of where it's 98 cents a piece to send out. Then we have our international guests that are making requests for this information too, and the postage goes up. So my recommendation is that until we get a complete visitor guide so that this is the only piece that we need to send out for fulfillment, that the visitor center submit what the costs are for these going out, and that to be all inclusive of the ones that we supplement or the ones that we send internationally. And then when we get to this piece, then we can figure out a per cost piece, and it'll make the invoicing a lot easier.
So my comment, not to be against whatever, but why would the TBID be paying for the shopping or the restaurants? Wouldn't that be coming out of the visitor center?
Well, simply because, the current piece that the TBID is putting together is incomplete. So we're supplementing this information.
Right. But my question, again, goes back to if somebody calls in and asks for a vacation rental, the vacation rental is not paying into this TBID. Mm-hmm. So the TBID is not responsible for sending out a vacation rental list. That would be under the city's purview with the visitor center or the shopping or the restaurants. So we are not responsible for paying for those other dining, restaurants, shopping, vacation rentals that aren't paying into this, because we're only hotels. So there's my two cents on that. And I think, the hotel operators made that piece. Yes, we would love to add more things in there, but the reason is we paid for that piece. We wanted it to have information, but also if vacation rentals, RV parks, shoppings, dinings wanted more information in there, they should be coming forward and paying for some of that information as well. I mean, we put the information in there, but we couldn't put everything in there. So that's my two cents on that.
Well, I totally agree with you. But also, maybe this is something, this is where you have that fine line between the visitor center and the Chamber of Commerce. And this piece, to be all-inclusive, would be great if the Chamber of Commerce contributed as a group to have their members' names in here. And that would also encourage the Chamber to have members that are right now not seeing the value of being a member of the Chamber, so that we can have businesses and everything in here. But that's where you cross over.
Well, and I think we have to be very careful also, because if they are not a Chamber member, they can still be in that guide, because we are a public, there could be a hotel that is not a Chamber member that has, we have paid for that as a hotel. The hotels are paying.
Yeah, but that's different. But what about a restaurant that's not a member of the Chamber, and they're listed in here?
They should be listed in there, because that's a public funded. I guess the hoteliers pay for. Yeah, it's a very tricky thing, and it's my thing is which is again why in the long world of in many many years we would love to have everybody kind of paying into this, or the city. I'd love to see it, match dollar for dollar or something. So then that way it's not all on the hoteliers to be advertising for restaurants, shops, dining, and
maybe
else.
This is something we could go to the promotions committee about, because the promotions committee, this promotes every single, and it should be all-inclusive in this town. And it could be a joint effort between the TIB and promotions committee. Then we don't have to worry about 5 cents.
Which I agree.
Well, I think the long-term answer, which is not going to be that long-term, because I think we will go through these. The original intent was that we printed a limited quantity of these so we would burn through them and be able to incorporate more. I think that it is a value to have the restaurants, obviously, to have complete detail, because when somebody comes and wants to stay in a hotel, they want information on where they're going to eat, too. So, and I'm not talking necessarily about the inclusion of the brochures. That's another issue. But to make that piece complete is everybody's intention. And But I will caution that we don't want to go too far with it, because then we date the piece too. So there's this fine line. Certainly putting restaurant addresses is not going to do that. Probably part of that was because we didn't have that information, or that we didn't have time to gather the information. I think the key to make this piece what all of us want is to work today, going forward, anything we see, and this includes anybody, to start making a note of that and getting it to me. And I know I'm going to work with Craig on getting additional information, because we really want, you know, whether it's paid for by the hotels, and I think Jane's suggestion of getting the promotions committee involved is a very good one. But bottom line is, we want a piece that's complete. When somebody gets this, they think, wow, this is really great. The city has its act together. They gave me a really complete piece. Just to play devil's advocate, though, with that, we still want them to go to the website where they're going to get all this information, and that information then we can change daily if we need to. So if a restaurant goes out of business or a new one comes on board, we have the ability to change that 24/7.
Right. I would like to see us – I don't see a time when we would not have this piece, because not everybody is hooked up to the computer.
Right.
Not everybody takes their laptop with them on vacation. And there is benefit in having this all-inclusive for the hotels, because people aren't just coming here to eat or just here to lodge. They're coming here for the experience that's Morro Bay, and I think that's the way that we need to look at our marketing, is marketing that whole experience and what the people are looking for.
Don't get me wrong. I agree with that 100%. What I am not agreeing with is us currently at this time paying for the additional pieces that are put in there, because I agree with you. I just got back from a little mini vacation, and the whole time I was traveling, I'm writing notes about all the things I'm seeing as I'm a visitor. And whenever I go onto our website or do anything in the marketing, I try to put myself in the I'm a visitor shoe, not a who's paying for what shoe. But when it gets into fulfillment costs, and that's what this discussion's about, I agree. I would love to see more information in our visitor's guide, and I have no problem putting that information in there. I think that's a great thing to have. Gets a little dicey when we get into other lodging entities like vacation rentals and RV parks. I don't feel they should have a lot of information in there, because they need to pay if they want it in there. Dining, all the experiences a guest has, I agree with. But again, it comes back to right now fulfillment. I'm not comfortable with this board paying for the fulfillment pieces that are being added to the visitor's guide. That's where my 2 cents comes in. We shouldn't have to pay for all of that.
Just a question to John. For existing supply on these things, how long are they going to last?
Well, it would depend upon if we use these, like at the trade show, like when you go to the trade show up in January and LA Times, I mean, you could go through maybe 3,000 or 4,000 of those at the LA Times show. We're probably, maybe about 8 right now, something like that. So take another 5, now we're down to 3, then we're time for reprinting. So really, honestly, the time for us to like start making the new one is today, you know. And I can work with Craig and get the content, because the last one, as Michelle knows very well, because they were really responsive in helping me get the thing done in time for Saver, we did it quickly, and we anticipated that there were going to be issues. So I think we should start thinking about the redesign now. We're under budget. We have enough budget right now with the existing budget that we did for the visitor's guide to continue to get the new content in there. I guess to answer your question, John, as far as when the new one would be out, I mean, I would maybe like spring.
Because what I'm thinking is that, you know, we're spending a lot of time on this, and there's 1,000 items that are getting mailed out a month on average. And if everything went out at 90 cents an item, that's $900 a month. If everything goes out at, say, 40 cents an item, is what we're willing to pay, it's $400 a month. So we're talking about a difference of $500 a month for maybe 5 months, you know, $2,500. We budgeted $1,500 a month. We know that's way too high. I don't know if we need to spend a whole lot of time, and maybe we just say, in the meantime, until April, we'll commit up to $750 a month for this, and hopefully that will not everything goes out with 5 extra things stuffed in it. Hopefully our average cost is 75 cents an item or less. And then we probably have demonstrated some goodwill with the Chamber of Commerce and the Visitor Center. We all work together very closely with John to get this thing redone and print this new stuff in April and problem solved.
So currently, just to refresh my memory, currently right now we're paying $1,000 for November and December. That's what we agreed to pay. Anything more than that, you would contact John. So currently right now, we don't have a set contract, and you guys hadn't negotiated then a set contract at this point, correct?
That's what we're doing.
That's what we're doing, right. So right now we're at the $1,000 a month is what we're approving. So your suggestion then is to continue at the $1,000 approval and then until spring?
No, I think what we would do is use the tracking system that the VC has in place where they can count how many items and what the postage was per item and actually bill us for what goes out the door. And then what I'm saying is I don't think it's going to be too many more than 92 cents an item like that one, and probably a lot of them are going to go out at 38 cents an item. So our average cost going out is maybe going to be 65 cents an item. So we'll be paying $650 a month instead of $1,000 now when we budgeted $1,500.
So if just this visitor's guide in an envelope costs us 38 cents, why aren't we capping it at that?
Thank you.
It's pretty simple.
Because, one, it's incomplete and doesn't provide all the information for our visitors, but also there are situations where it doesn't go out at the bulk rate of 38 cents.
Well, the bulk rate, I thought, was 27.3.
Well, and we figured in the envelope and the labels and the time with that and added a dime to that figure. I believe that's where that number came from.
Yeah.
So I still come back to why are we paying for the shopping and dining and restaurants? I guess that's as a board what we need to decide if we want to continue to do or not.
I think that I agree this is incomplete, but we also printed it. And now you have something to send out. Just because it's incomplete, we're going to be doing a reprint. I really don't agree with increasing our costs beyond 40 cents.
See, and my thing is it, as incomplete as it may say it is, the information that's not in, it still gives the information. It just doesn't give an address and a phone number. They can, so it doesn't give an address. Okay. Personally, I agree. I think we should cap it at the 40 cents and call it good. I don't think we should be having to put the fulfillment, if that other fulfillment needs to be in there, I think that's the Chamber's or the Visitor Center decision. I don't personally feel that would be my decision. So I don't know if as a board we need to decide on a cap. I think we
yeah. need to make a motion and that it needs to be tracked. And that is a drag over at the Visitor Center because...
We actually do track it. John has seen our
tracking. Okay, so then I think that we need to make a motion and second that we cap it at that. And then we can track it and revisit this next month or the month after. This is a slow month. It's not going to give us good figures. But I think if we track it every single month and look what we're doing, then we'll have a better feel for that. Don't forget, when this is reprinted and we're adding everything in there, which we should also discuss, if the promotion committee say no, I think we need to relook at what we're doing to promote this city.
I agree, and again, don't get me wrong, I want more information in there. When we made it, John knows we did it in a turnaround. Again, I just don't feel, if we had no restaurants and no dining and no shopping in here, I would completely agree. But there is information in here, it's just not, it's just not, just like websites aren't on here. I mean, we had talked about that in the committee as well. So there was just so much information we had to decide on what, and we had to do it so quick. We kind of went with, let's give the basic information now and see what we need in a few months and then reprint. So I agree with that. So I'd love to hear a motion.
I just a little bit more discussion. I kind of feel for the Chamber because, you know, when somebody calls and they want information and, you know, you think, well, all I can do is put this in this envelope. It's a service word that they're calling for and you're a service provider and you can't do it because you can only – are you saying – you could put other stuff in there and pay, you know, a dollar, but you're only going to get 40 cents for that?
What I'm saying is put whatever else they want in there at their cost. It's not my – we shouldn't pay for something they choose to put in there. That's my saying. I'm not saying don't put it in. I'm not saying if they choose to put it in there, that's fine. But that shouldn't be at our cost. That should be at
– Well, and that becomes my decision then. Do we – not include the extra
right.
information, or
right.
do we bear the brunt of the cost to provide a
right.
full service for our guest requests?
Right. And I think it depends. I mean, again, if somebody's wanting shopping information, there's shopping information in here. So, I mean, that's where I'm a little baffled. It's like somebody calling to my hotel and saying they want hotel information, and I send them a brochure, but my brochure maybe left out that I had eggs on there because it doesn't say there's eggs. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but what if the person that calls your hotel says, can you give me some information on the restaurants in the area or what to do and what are you going to, you know?
Well, this has that. If they need more information, they go to morbay.org. I mean, that's my 2 cents on it.
If I may interject, a couple of things to keep in mind is that you currently have a budget of $20,000, and you're not going to be going over that, my understanding, for your fulfillment. I think also you need to look at the fact that has this been perfect? No. I think you've identified some areas where you need improvement, but I also think it's important not to penalize, and that's probably a strong word to use, but not penalize the person that's calling in and asking for information. I think you've, again, identified some areas that need to be taken care of. I think we're going to move from this point on and make some changes, but I think it's very important to make sure that we provide people that are calling as much information as we can in the best way possible. So, again, you're under budget. I think Member Myers has made some great recommendations on what to do from this point on. But my concern is you know, cutting your nose to spite your face, and I think we need to keep that in mind. Again, up to you. And
well, I disagree with you. I'm not penalizing anybody for sending this fabulous thing. In fact, it's very convoluted to get more than just this. Okay, this is simple. It encourages people to stay here rather than stay someplace else and shop here. So if somebody wants to, I would like to make a motion that we, and I also want to address something else. And you said we have $20,000. I'd like to put more money into advertising so that if I don't need that money to support this or do something better with that $20,000, I would rather do that. So I would like to make a motion that we fund up to 40 cents for the mailer of the current visitor center guide.
Can I second if I'm... Can
yeah.
I second?
Sure.
I will second that motion. Any discussion?
I'll be abstaining from that vote.
I think coming from a retail perspective versus a hotelier perspective, I think, you know, when you have people come to this to stay in your hotel, I think you have kind of a responsibility to let them know what else there is to do there. I mean, they're there to sleep, but they're going to do other things as well. So I think, you know, if I have somebody coming to stay with me, I want to take them places or show them what to do, where to eat. So I think the hoteliers have somewhat of a, you know, responsibility to let their guests know what there is to do in the town.
I completely agree with you 100%. And if you look at this guide, it has all the information you would need. If this had no restaurants in it, if this had no shopping in it, if this had no dining in it, I would completely say, yes, fulfill it. But that's like me throwing a fit that my website's not on here. My website's not on here. It's not complete. It's not giving complete information on my hotel. You know, so I completely agree with, I echo what you're saying. When a guest walks in front of me, it's like when they go down to the visitor center and somebody's not on the chamber list. They still recommend them. It's the same exact thing. I completely get it.
Well, Chair Hawkins,
you do
if
I could do a point of order, you do have a motion in a second. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this is additional discussion.
Well,
okay.
Here's the discussion also. These are also great little pieces, and every hotel is a mini visitor center. If somebody comes to me and they want information, there's no reason why I can't have this at my hotel, which has complete information, say, here's all the restaurants. They're still going to ask me who I recommend. So you better be nice to me, Nick.
And I think that's where we get into the sticky part is, you know, you want a complete information. I get it. I completely echo it. But as John said, we have to be careful, you know, like at a perfect example, we have a dining review book at my office. It has every single dining in Morro Bay. It's not chamber related. It's every single city. So we have to update that, though. We update that every 3 months. We call every city, make sure they're there, the menu's there. We update this. it's like if I went and printed something, well, and then in 3 months they're gone, what are we going to have, what's going to happen then? I mean, we tried, and again, this isn't complete, so I'm not saying that, but you're going to never have every single thing everybody wants. If somebody says, I want to go hike over in Los Osos, that's not in here. So what are we going to do? Say, oh, well, there's going to always need to be fulfillment. There's going to always need to be a few add-ons. That's the visitor center's job. That's what they do. They are a visitor center, and they're paid. They have a contract with the city. That's what they do. So you're not going to always be able to answer every question with a visitor's guide. There's going to always have to be some type of fulfillment of specific what people are requesting. You know, every guest that comes in is going to have a different request, whether they want family-friendly. You know, what I tell the person that walks in with the family, I'm going to tell them to do something different than the older people that can't walk very much. You know what I mean? So you're going to have to have that somewhat fulfillment of changing what is specific to that person's needs. And to say that one visitor's guide, no matter what it's made, I mean, it could be a 500-page book, is going to still miss something that somebody's requesting. So again, it gets back to the cost of, you know, we want to put a piece together that's sent out. We should be paying for, you know, we're already, right, we're paying for that piece. Anything that's fulfilled is Craig's job and the visitor center's job to decide what's being fulfilled. If somebody's having a wedding, then they're going to have a wedding piece. If somebody's, you know, whatever, I'm just, you're going to never be able to completely satisfy with one guide what people are requesting. It's just going to be impossible. You're going to always have to cater to their needs if you're being a true, if you're truly doing your job at the visitor center. That's my point.
But I think in fairness to the visitor center, it kind of puts them in a tough spot. Do I want to, you know, what should I put in this envelope? What are we going to put? I mean, it just kind of puts them in a kind of a difficult situation.
No, they're putting this in. And if somebody wants other, what we're trying to do is promote overnight stays, not a day stay to go shopping or to go dining, okay? Just this is what, wait a minute, this is a sport. This is the initial, when they see this, this is a slick piece. It's marketing. So is this going to encourage them? They don't know any of these restaurants from Adam. They don't know any of the shopping from Adam. But what this does is say, hey, this is a slick place. Look at these wonderful pictures. Look at this where I can go and walk around. I want to go there. Then they make the reservation, and then they say, now what do?
Okay, so we have a
motion on the board.
Yeah,
just my last comment. I guess what I'm thinking is the fulfillment we're talking about is the request for fulfillment that's coming in from somebody at Sunset Magazine or Travel Over 50 or whatever it's called, which is an advertisement that this organization arranged through John, and it created this request for fulfillment. Therefore, this organization determines what fulfillment goes back to that specific request. If something, a request for fulfillment comes in from another source, the visitor center can use that brochure and whatever other brochures they want, and it's not part of what we're doing here. And I guess secondly is, I'm thinking, because I like that brochure, and I never noticed that the addresses of the restaurants weren't there. And I'm not sure at this point in time if we sent this back to somebody in Fresno, they're going to say, oh, here's an Italian restaurant, and here's a French restaurant, and here's a seafood restaurant, and probably not care too much, and they're probably going to go in their BlackBerry and get directions to find it anyway. So I guess I'm leaning towards saying, okay, if this is TBID fulfillment and this is what TBID wants to put in the envelope, is 40 cents an item satisfactory to the visitor center to fulfill that?
I think also, just to put it in perspective, this original budget was for the added impact that the BID might have on fulfillment. You know, I mentioned to Craig, it is not that you're losing $20,000, because the $20,000 really never existed prior to the BID. The reason that there was a budget for this was because there was assumption that there's going to be greater amount of fulfillment having to be done as part of the BID. The BID, prior to the BID's formation, there was never any payment for fulfillment that came from the city, part of the city's contract. So I guess, and I'm neutral on this, but I'm just saying, just to provide the entire information, the reason this budget was originally attributed was because there was going to be added impact. So it was not to pay for fulfillment.
And that's one thing to remember, too. I mean, my 10%, the other 10% of my TOT, still part of that money that I pay, goes into visitor center. Just as John's saying, before we even had the BIDs, you guys were still fulfilling for all of the hoteliers. So this is just extra. I mean, we're just trying to cover those extra burden that possibly with all of the ads and the marketing and everything else that's going on. So I completely ditto what Jane said earlier. And because we've discussed this forever, we've done so good, it's 11:30. I'd like to go for vote, if everybody's comfortable. Craig's abstaining. So if we can, we've got a second. We're there. It's discussed. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so motion carries at 40 cents a item, and you'll send us a itemized list. Okay. So we are, I had one couple quick questions that I noted. Business cards. Do you know where those? Oh, okay. Okay. Somebody had asked me about that before they left town. Okay. You know, I don't remember seeing something on it, but I've been out. So, also, Andrea informed me today that Bill Yates will be our liaison to this board. So, hopefully, we'll start seeing Mayor Yates attending our meetings. Hopefully, he's watching us at some point, or we'll eventually watch this. So, we'll welcome him at these meetings in the future. And I think the Declaration of Future Agenda Items... Andrea, do you want to go over those? Because I know we had a long list from before. I do know the only thing I noted from this meeting was the FAM trip asking request for more money.
You're correct. And then we have, just so the board knows, Chair Solo and I have been sitting down, or will be sitting down prior to each meeting to work on the agenda. We continue to have what I've got is a discussion of the trade show booth, a review of the visitor center, and that is going to take on a couple different including discussion of the November 8th action in regard to the visitor center from the council, as well as your motion that you made back in June. So those are still on the agenda. And then we've got discussion on linking morrobay.org in a different manner to the city website, and that's what I've got on my list. There may be a couple of other things pending.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know if the board wants to add anything else.
Is there anything else that anybody would like to add on future agenda items?
What about that reminds me about the website. Were we discussing the origin of the website or the...
I believe that that was on one of the agenda items, Andrea, about the website origin of ownership.
Yeah, I think that that's already been looked at, but I think that could come under the discussion of linking morrobay.org. It's my understanding that morrobay.org website is owned by the chamber.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. We just need to find out where the money was coming from on that, because I know that the... But, yeah, okay, that can be a future agenda discussion. Before we adjourn, anything else for future agenda items? Okay, before we adjourn, too, I just want to say one last thing. I should have said it under announcements. Go out and shop at your local – go down and shop local downtown Morro Bay. Yesterday, we put in a new computer system at my office, and I've been up at the front desk a lot the last 2 weeks. Yesterday, a lady came through town, and she said she stopped into Paso. There was nobody downtown. It was desolate. So she moved on, and she came to Morro Bay and saw that there was little busy bees going around everywhere, and it looked like a great place to stop, and she came in and stayed overnight. So I just want to encourage everybody out there, encourage everybody, shop local, get out there, because it shows how it goes back to that whole, if there's buzz going on locally and there's a community going on, that even the people that are coming through town see that, and it's like a great hopping spot. And then they stayed here overnight. They're like, usually we stay in Paso, but we decided to move forward because it looked too quiet there. And they came to Morro Bay and stayed overnight. And so I just want to throw that out there as my last little pitch. Shop local, get out to the local places down up in North Morro Bay and down on the Embarcadero, and do all your last-minute Christmas shopping or holiday shopping. And I think we're adjourned. That's it.
Good job.
Thanks.